Ever. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
And here we are, and hopefully
I'm the only one with energy today, apparently.
and hopefully we won't lose this episode.
Yay.
So I think first we wanted to start out about talking about the new Suicide Squad preview. This is my impression of it. I saw it. I really, really liked it. But it just felt like execs at DC saw the preview for Deadpool and were like, oh shit, we're going to lose. And they wanted to do something really awesome and then put together this preview. Like, I feel like this should have been the first preview, not the second. But bringing back the Bohemian Rhapsody and the, I don't know, brought me back to Wayne's World. And
yeah.
But I just felt that they definitely did this in retaliation because they feel threatened by the Deadpool movie.
Well, by the time,
and they should.
By the time Suicide Squad comes out, Deadpool won't really be in the theaters anymore.
I know, but I think they're just, you know, the wars of commercials or wars of advertising, as you will, if you will.
Well, yeah, and I mean, marketing costs money and it makes money for them to get this stuff out there so early. But the thing is, it's just, I feel like to their detriment, they tried jumping on the Deadpool bandwagon. Because I feel like I was really excited by the first trailer. I liked it. It looked good. It looked like a typical Warner Brothers DC movie. Dark, gritty, and a more mature reboot, which I'm used to. But with this one, it just, I don't know if I enjoyed the humor. I just don't know that it made me want to see the movie more. Because the first preview really did give us sort of an idea of how Jared Leto's Joker is going to go, and B, how many of these characters are going to interact. But with this new trailer, there's just a lot of humor, and I don't know if I want that in my Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah, see, and I do. I think without a bit of humor, Suicide Squad won't work. But I don't think it's going to be like any kind of slapstick thing. I think it's going to be very tongue in cheek, a lot of pot shots at themselves kind of humor, which is exactly what the Suicide Squad should be.
Right.
You're right. But go ahead. But this trailer made it look like it's going to be, you know, a typical like Adam Sandler, Farrelly Brothers fucking piece.
No, not at all. I don't know where you got that from, other than being our resident contrarian, but I saw none of that in this trailer.
Okay.
Absolutely none.
I the one part, like you were talking about the humor, and I agree that it needs to have the humor, but the one that bugged me a little bit was when, so they're doing their stuff and they're walking down the street and then Harley Quinn smashes that window and then grabs a person and she goes like, well, we're bad guys. And I'm like,
was that, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. It didn't ruin, like, it didn't really ruin anything for me, but I just felt that was, like, I hope that cut doesn't make it into the movie, because I just feel that you're just pulling away from the rest of it.
The reason why I think stuff like that is in there is because Harley Quinn, while being a beloved character by everyone, especially female cosplayers, is that she's such an over-the-top character that she's actually, in when it comes to real life, a little difficult to do. And so they have to kind of, I think the only way to bring her to the screen is to really accentuate the fact that this girl has multiple personalities.
Right.
And so that's why she can go from cold, calculating psychopath to Looney Tunes, cartoon character. Drop of the hat. And I think there's going to be more to that scene than just her smashing a window, bending over, showing us a little cheek, and grabbing a purse and saying something silly. But I think that's actually kind of a good, talking about that is actually a good segue into what I really want to talk about today. And that's
go ahead. Sorry.
And that's I really want to focus today on girls kicking some ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Studios being afraid of female-led superhero projects when I think we have made it pretty crystal clear that's what we want.
Right. Before you get to that real quick, I just had an offset to what you were saying. I'm excited and kind of scared about in this new Suicide Squad is that clearly in the previews they make it very clear that you see the creation of Harley Quinn. You see her being the psychotherapist, and she gets dumped into the acid by Joe, or the chemicals by Joker, and then she becomes Harley Quinn. What scares me about that is that I hope they don't do that for every member of Suicide Squad.
From what I understand, they're actually going to show how Batman caught every member in like a quick, you know, flashback,
kind of like the beginning of
which is why you see Batman on top of the car with Joker and Harley, like that clearly takes place in the past. And
so it's kind of like the beginning of I can't think of the name of Watchmen, where they're kind of showing.
I think it's going to be a bit like that.
Okay.
You think it's just going to be the credit sequence?
Maybe a little bit more like the preview into the part of credits, but into the beginning of the movie.
I think it's gonna be kind of how they introduce each character. I think they're gonna take a good probably 20 minutes of the movie and just focus on that. I think it's gonna open with that car scene.
And I am glad they are using the Batman Arkham Asylum Harley Quinn storyline
versus the Mad Love storyline from the animated series.
Yes. And just one really other quick question. Does it bug anybody else that Harley Quinn doesn't have an accent? I mean, it bugs me a little bit. It's not going to bug me a whole lot. But
no, because in my eyes, Margot Robbie can kind of do no wrong.
I'm with you, but I kind of like the original Harley Quinn that I fell in love with was the original animated series one, and she had that, you know. Had that New York, Long Island, Brooklyn. I mean, it's kind of annoying, but...
I think there's a lot of reasons they're not going with that, and I think a lot of them stem from as an Aussie, a Brooklyn accent is too hard to do.
Well, maybe. English is hard enough for, and then
I'm sorry, it's fucking annoying.
You're not wrong, but
that nasally, I just think this particular Harley is going to be a little too grown up for that.
Oh, Mr. J. Pudding.
I think she's going to be too mature for.
I would just felt maybe a little New York would be good.
It would be nice to see at least a little nod to the accent.
Well, maybe she really will have multiple personality disorder, and she'll do it at some point.
Yeah,
it should be kind of a cuckoo bananas gift, a little fan service.
And yeah,
just a smidge of fan service, but only because from the trailers, what we've seen, I don't like this Harley. I'm cautiously optimistic it'll be good, but I don't.
You're the most contrary person on the planet. Well, I always will agree on something. You're like, well, I think it's shit. Fuck you guys.
No. I mean, I
don't care that she's the best looking person on the planet. And she's making Harley cutest butt, and she's pretty much perfect in every way. No Brooklyn accent. Fuck her. I personally think she's gonna kill it.
I shouldn't say that I don't like.
That was the worst impression of you I've ever done.
It was totally not Rob at all. That was
if I weren't drunk and trying to do a Chris Farley impression. And failing horribly.
That was like Rob 40 pounds heavier and somehow like 30 years older.
Yeah. Like I said, me doing a Chris Farley impression.
Well, fair enough.
But I should say, not that I dislike Harley, I'm worried that we're not going to see any of what we're used to in the character of Harley. I'm just, because I haven't seen any of it yet. None of us have seen the movie, but in the trailers, I just don't see what makes her the character of Harley Quinn. It looks like Margot Robbie playing a character called Harley Quinn, not the actual character.
Maybe they just don't want to, you know, give it all away. Maybe they're really smart for once.
They don't want to give it away now?
Enchantress looks like she's going to be fucking awesome, though.
Yeah, actually, I'm with you on that. I'm a little... She is sufficiently creepy, I think that's the right wonderful. Way to go.
I forget her name because I'm horrible with names.
Cara Delevingne.
The Katana lady. Mm-hmm. Is that the same girl from Sin City that played?
No, it's not Devin Aoki.
Okay, no. I was just curious because I saw the photo real quick.
Or Jamie Chung.
Because they don't really show her much in the preview.
There were two Minos.
Right, because they show her quick in the preview. They don't really show much of her. So it's kind of, and I just saw the photo and I was like, is that the same? Because if it is, I would just, I don't know. I would have a problem with it. I was going to say about Harley Quinn, I'm kind of excited to see how they do this Harley Quinn, because like you said, they're not doing what we were expecting. And so I think Margot Robbie can certainly kill it. But on the other hand, I don't think she can ruin it. But
I really do
I might
like
just
Margot
not be
Robbie
satisfied.
I like Margot Robbie as an actor.
Afterwards, I might just roll over and go to bed. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't want them, and we've discussed this before, I don't want her to just be the sex object in the movie.
No, absolutely not.
If she is,
I'm a little worried that's what's going to happen, because from the trailer.
That's why I'm hoping that she kind of starts out that way and definitely evolves into the badass we know now.
Yeah.
Right, because they do kind of show her with like the arms of Deadshot, and you're kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about this morning. I don't want her to turn into the damsel. I want it to start like that, and then by the end, I want her to save him, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the trailers, it seems like her only real, like, moment of actual character was that scene where she breaks the glass and goes, what, we're bad guys. Otherwise, she does look a lot like a damsel in distress in the trailers.
I actually would still consider that with the damsel crap. When they're in the yard, and she's, what? I should kill everyone and make an escape? Sorry. Is this the voices? I'm kidding. That's not what they say.
Yeah,
that's right. That to me is quintessential Harley, and I love
So, and then kind of going back and getting time back into what you were saying about women being, you know,
women in superhero movies,
yeah, being the kick-assery.
We recently got Jessica Jones, which has been critically acclaimed. Everyone and their mom has watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I've now watched the entire series. I totally binge watched it in like 2 days.
Yeah,
it's the entire season.
And it's I think the studios have gone, this is kind of a test. We're like, all right, let's see what happens when we have a girl at the forefront, and we loved it. I mean,
yeah,
I speak for myself, but most male gamers I know, whenever I have an opportunity to create my own character, I more often than not will make a woman. And it's not just, you know, the whole, it's I can have something better to look at if I'm going to be playing for 40 hours, that a lot of guys will say why they make a girl, but because I like the idea of a kick-ass girl saving the galaxy more than just another boring guy.
Also,
I grew up in the, but that's what I was talking about.
No,
I
know.
I grew up in, you know, the 80s and 90s, and all the action heroes, it's boring. I want chick saving the galaxy, because I think Mad Max made a beautiful point of, you know, men destroyed the world, so now women are going to save it.
But I think there is a fine line to that, though, and the example I'll give is actually your childhood, Lara Croft, specifically the games, not Angelina Jolie's version, that was not good either, but I'm talking
but
about Lara
still
Croft.
Kind of fun.
But I thought.
The movies or the boobies?
The movies were kind of fun. They're not good, but they're fun. I enjoy watching them. I like the fact that at the end of the second one, she doesn't get caught up in Gerard Butler's crap, and she ends up shooting him.
Spoiler alert,
I guess.
You're welcome. He just saved me 2.5 boobless hours.
No, there's
there were 2.5 boob-filled hours, just not, you know.
Good boob-filled hours.
Angelina's always good. But
she's lovely. It's just
shallowness aside, I really enjoy the idea of a woman saving Earth. And yes, the Lara Croft games were
And I'm referring specifically to the Lara Croft games. Yes, she saves the world. Yes, she is really, really successful at her job. But anything anyone ever talked about those games was she's in short shorts and has a really ample.
If you hadn't cut me the fuck off,
chest.
Look at the new Lara Croft. She does not have an ample chest. She is fully clothed, and she is her. I mean, granted, her main mode of transportation is falling from point A to point B. but you take on a goddamn bear.
Ooh.
She's hardcore, and she's everything that Lara Croft should have been from the beginning. And yes, she's still a very attractive character, and guys try and take that to her advantage. But then she also uses that a bit as a weapon. It's like, are you gonna come rape me? Shank!
Oh, fuck you, guy. What's that? What movie is that where they're talking about scantily clad superheroes and like, oh, you don't have like chest armor. I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, you have like this stomach. I can't think of the movie. But they're pretty much pointing out that like the scantily clad superhero women, like, how do you like protect yourself, or what movie is that? I can't think of it.
Doesn't sound like a real thing.
Was it Pixels?
I think you dream that.
No.
You saw Pixels?
You saw Pixels.
It was free.
You're done talking for now.
No, actually, it was enjoyable. I'm not saying it was any work of art, but it was funny and enjoyable only because of the fact that it's like what I grew up on, and that like all the little references and all the little side jokes that most people probably wouldn't catch unless you played a lot of these games as a child. We're good. It was enjoyable. Whatever. It was funny.
But no. So Lara Croft has evolved, and we've shown that we want evolution, which is why the first, female superhero film project we're getting is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen the footage from that, but
I haven't.
It takes place in the 40s.
Okay.
Chris Pine is in it. And it looks like it's from what I've seen so far, it looks like he is the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just delightful. Because it's Captain Kirk.
But you can't say that it's like the first time they made a movie about it. Because, in the 70s, they had the Wonder Woman.
It was a TV show.
Yeah, but they made like a TV...
They didn't make a TV movie.
Yes, they did.
A TV movie is not a movie. I'm talking about since the resurgence. Since this big comic book movie.
Right.
I'm talking about this. Basically since X-Men came out.
Yeah.
Because X-Men is kind of what started this. This is our first female-led superhero movie. When I say movie, I mean silver screen.
Cinematic movie, release.
Not made for TV. Boring.
I'm going to get my nerd on real quick, and I think I'm going to prove you wrong, because I think there is a movie that was based on a comic that had a female-led star. It wasn't good, but...
Since the X-Men surge? It's just been teams.
I don't know.
Nope, never mind.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's Aeon Flux, but that was based on...
Based on a short little video thing on something called Liquid Television on MTV.
Uh-huh.
And that movie sucked ass.
It sure did.
And it wasn't really... It was a sci-fi movie. It wasn't really a superhero movie. Yeah. So, point being...
Or Resident Evil. But that's...
Still based on a video game, not superhero.
You're a superhero.
I'm talking about comic book movies.
All right,
but also, that does prove a point that those movies, despite not being terribly good, have been successful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And Mila Jovovich is such a driving force of those. It's actually a good point, because they're not great. The first one is actually really good.
I like the first one. And the second one.
But I keep watching them anyway, because they're fun to watch.
They are.
And Mila kicks a ton of ass, and I like watching her kick a ton of ass.
Right.
Sure.
And so we get Wonder Woman, and I do suggest there was when the Suicide Squad trailer was revealed, it was during this Kevin Smith presentation.
Okay.
Where they talked about it, and that's actually where I saw the Wonder Woman footage. But so it takes place in the 40s, like around World War II. You see her kick Nazi ass, you see her cutting dudes down and riding horses and being awesome, and it looks like it's gonna be pretty good. So
right.
We get that one, and then,
I have sorry. One.
What?
Barbed wire.
Oh, my God.
That was not since the X-Men surge.
Oh, no, you're right.
That was
sorry.
Not, and it was a
since
horrible,
the X-Men...
it was a horror, it was worse than any movie ever. I would rather watch Waterworld than fucking barbed wire. Well, what about Tank Girl? Well, that was a horrible movie, too.
And also,
no,
before the
I
X-Men
liked
surge.
Tank Girl.
It was what
I'm talking about.
So after X-Men series. Okay, I'm going to make this happen.
I'm talking about the new wave of comic book movies. I'm talking mainstream comics.
Uh-huh.
And I find it funny for two reasons. One, because I was thinking about this when you mentioned it, that one, why has this not happened before? Because the majority of comic book readers has always been men. And why would you not want to lead female unless you want to talk about some sort of patriarchal...
Studios think that we don't want it, and that's kind of the problem with the Ray toy things that Rob wanted to mention.
But then I thought about it, and I go, well, I certainly think there has been a huge flip in people who read comic books. I would say it's 50-50 men-women, maybe a little bit more men, but I would say there's a lot more women reading comic books and a lot more... women really getting into it, especially with the huge explosion of cosplay and all that stuff, and the internet, the interwebs, whatever. And I think that, and I agree with you, Kevin, I'm not trying to disagree with you. I'm just saying that I think they're bringing it out now to bring that to a front, and they were just afraid to do it before because they, for some odd reason, felt that guys didn't want to see that. And you're exactly right. That's exactly what we wanted to see. And I just don't think they had the right characters to do it because they don't really develop the female characters with the exception of like Wonder Woman and, you know, a handful of others that
and it makes sense that DC is getting the first one because Wonder Woman, when you think of female superheroes, she's top shelf.
Nobody ever thinks Supergirl.
Well, yeah, if you think of like Marvel and DC, and you think DC of the trifecta of main characters in Marvel, yeah, it's Spider-Man. Marvel. Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America. In DC, it's Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. And I think that I think it's absolutely right that DC should be jumping into the pile.
I can
think
of so many more solo female superheroes out of DC than I can Marvel. Most of the female superheroes in Marvel are part of a team.
Yep.
There are so few like solo ones. Like DC, you have Zatanna who's always doing her thing. You have Power Girl who's always doing her own thing. You have so many more solo female superheroes on the DC side than you do Marvel. Marvel, your biggest
She-Hawk, your or not She-Hawk, She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk is one of the few like solo Marvel girls.
Yeah, but she wasn't ever that as popular.
Exactly.
And she's
based off of who was an original Avenger.
Original Avenger, and then she fell off the map. Completely fell off.
Most of the female superheroes who even do their own thing are just the female version of another superhero.
Right.
And which is why, like, She-Hulk, Spider-Girl, that kind of thing. And the same thing with Supergirl, but...
It's funny, actually. They recently started a new comic series in Marvel called Spider-Gwen.
Which I have every issue of so far.
That doesn't mean you've read it. You just own it. It doesn't mean you've actually perused it yet.
I buy comic books to read them. I'm not...
Awesome. Like that. Good for you. You're not Sean Beveridge. Anyways.
Right.
Although, how sad for you. You're not Sean Beveridge. And yeah. That kick-ass looking fiance of his.
I see.
Kevin had a moment there.
But
yeah, he did.
No, it's... I can barely think of it. And Spider-Gwen, while fantastic, is still a female version of a popular superhero.
Right. And they're just trying to do an offshoot of... You know, Gwen Stacy came, and then now she wants to be like Spider-Man.
And I mean, I even feel like with Captain Marvel, it's stretching. She's become this.
You mean Ms. Marvel?
It's Captain Marvel.
It's
now.
Captain. Oh, yeah, that's Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel in DC is now Shazam, which I hate. But
But Captain Marvel in Marvel is Carol Danvers, and they have a new one, Ms. Marvel. It's a young Muslim girl. Which those comics I have read and they're quite good. So if you have a chance, go find the back issues.
I definitely will. But the thing is, Ms. Marvel was like this kind of second rate superhero who was taken off the shelf because Rogue stole her powers and
yeah. And then Rogue became more popular, part of the X-Men.
But that was because of the X-Men.
Right.
And you know, you think of some of the most powerful females in Marvel are all X-Men, for crying out loud. Your Rogues, your Storms, your Jean Greys.
I was kind of curious why they never, in the movies, other than maybe Anna Paquin didn't want to do it, why they never gave her Ms. Marvel's powers. They just left her as...
What was it, X-Men 2, when she fell out of the jet?
Yeah.
And Nightcrawler had to save her? I was like, fly!
But she hasn't... And they've briefly mentioned Ms. Marvel in the movies, briefly, and like they just never gave her powers. I'm like, what an awesome! Why not? Why the fuck not? Maybe because fucking Halle Berry wanted to have the spotlight.
She did,
and that's why they fucking killed off Cyclops.
No, Cyclops was killed off because the director, that piece of shit,
wasn't that Halle Berry's husband?
Who did X-Men 3 didn't know what to do with these characters, and he's like, well, I'll just kill them or take away their powers.
I thought it was just Halle Berry being a bitch and going, no, I want to be the lead or I'm out.
No, she definitely said she wanted to be the lead, you know, the main character, but
yeah.
But killing off Cyclops wasn't, because she was always a leader of the X-Men. It was always Cyclops and Storm. He led the blue team, she led the gold team, or vice versa. I can't remember.
I thought yeah. Wolverine was
right. Michael Bendis.
No, Wolverine was never actually a leader. He just became super fucking popular from the movies.
He was given leadership a few times, and he hated it.
I think Wolverine was popular way before the movies.
Way before the movies.
Yeah, but it didn't change. I think the movies made this idea that he should be a leader.
Maybe.
Which I hate, but anyways.
But he's not.
Yeah,
he's not.
It's just the way he is. He's a soldier, he's a follower, not that that's a bad thing, because he's a great soldier, he's the guy that you want on your team, but definitely maybe like a company first sergeant where he kind of...
He is not King Arthur, he's Lancelot.
Yeah.
Also, he's the one who wants to bed King Arthur, Cyclops' wife.
Right. No, I got the reference.
Read the X-Men comics sometimes, they're very... I agree they are.
I just... It's the, you know, I grew up on all the stories and I read all the comics. And then when they started changing, like, after they killed off Superman and then they brought Superman back and then all of a sudden comic books started changing storylines. I honestly lost interest because I'm like, why do you have to change the storyline? And all of a sudden now we have to believe a new storyline.
Because they had to do this because the third movie sucked so much and they had to fix it. That's why.
I'm with you, but
it also lets us continue making movies and watching.
I don't want to say that it ruins my childhood by like changing the stories, but it just makes me lose interest in wanting to read, now I have to learn a whole new storyline for these people.
And the reason why they keep doing that in the comic books is because they got to keep shit fresh. That's why
I'm with you.
That's why the Infinite Crisis keeps happening
And that's why they have 20 different X-Men. You have X-Men, you have Uncanny X-Men, you have Ultimate X-Men,
X-Men, which Joss Whedon wrote for a little while and hated the art, but the writing was fantastic.
Right, but then I always get confused. Like, I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to, are they all supposed to be connected? Are they not connected? Are they kind of connected?
Rob actually brought up a great character. Now, there is one person who she sometimes has teams, she sometimes as doesn't, but as a great standalone character, and that's Emma Frost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after Storm, she's probably my favorite Marvel female character.
I was going to, as far as the Arthurian legend thing, Emma Frost is more down.
Oh, without a fucking doubt.
So, yeah, that's what I was mentioning. But yes, okay, go on your thing.
She is such a fantastic and very deep character who was just shit on in the fucking movies. By being January Jones, and a lot of that is on January Jones, but then, you know, a lot of it is also on the writers for just making her a diamond sex toy.
Right.
I have the entire series of the standalone Emma Frost comics.
Okay.
And they're so good. Just watching her grow up and discover her powers, and this is even long before they retconned her to have this diamond crap anyway.
Right, and I'm kind of curious, speaking of, like, you know, separating those storylines, you know, the Emma Frosts and the Gwen Spidey, whatever you call her.
Spider-Gwen.
But then, so Jessica Jones, this new Marvel series, like, total, like, out of the blue, took a random character, just seems like, and it's like, all of a sudden they researched it, and it's brilliant. But it's like you said, like, Jewel dropped off the map in the Avengers and never was heard of again, and all of a sudden they had this Jessica Jones, and I'm curious why they picked that particular character, other than she kind of pretty much kicks ass.
I think they remembered that she was a thing, and they're like, let's do something with this, let's make her a private eye, let's give her own comic called Alias, aka Jessica Jones. And they're very kind of artsy-fartsy, very dark, very green.
Oh, absolutely, that's why I like it.
And they put her with, without a doubt, one of the cooler you know, comic book characters you have, and that's Luke Cage, aka Power Man.
Yeah.
Who I've always liked, and I miss the headband and afro.
I was gonna say the afro and super 70s like
I wanted him to like go undercover the show. I want him to go undercover the show with the big afro and the headband and the big 70s shirt. It's literally
I kinda heard the Shaft music when he came out.
Oh, absolutely. He basically is the Marvel Comics version of Shaft.
Oh, way better.
But he can punch people through walls.
Right.
Yep, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, Luke Cage is a shit. I love him.
And you know what I also found out, you know, we talked about this before in other podcasts about like the crossover between some of the shows and some of the movies, even where they mention, like, you know, in the Avengers movies they mention Doctor Strange, or they'll mention somebody in the Congo, which clearly is Moon Knight, and
not Moon Knight, Black Panther.
Black Panther, sorry. Well,
yeah, who is gonna be in the next one,
right,
in his costume. While I kind of missed the cape, I understand why they didn't do it. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. But what I love about Jessica Jones is that they're not afraid to, like, talk about anything else that's happened in the Marvel Universe. They clearly talk about the Avengers being in New York, mm-hmm. and they mention them mostly by name, but they're just not afraid to talk about it. And, like, I feel in other shows, they're like, no, we can't. We don't want to mention other people because that would deflect from our show.
You mean like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes. I haven't watched Green Arrow or anything or Flash, and obviously there is a kind of a mixed crossover there, and then they got their own, right?
It's continuously a crossover show. Okay. They're all connected.
But I felt finally that in Jessica Jones that they finally like just aren't afraid. They're like, yep, we're all part of the same fucking universe, and we're going to talk about each other. And that was one of the main reasons I really got into that show, other than it was really good and really, really well done. And the chick that plays Jessica Jones is very attractive.
If you haven't watched Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23 on Netflix, you have to. Mm-hmm. It was two very short seasons, and it got canceled because I think people were afraid of, you know, such a lewd woman who acts like a man. After you get past the first, like, 10, 13 episodes in season 2, it's all the lost episodes that never got aired. So mm-hmm. it kind of reverts back to season 1 and then kind of goes up again.
Right.
After you hit that, it's a little confusing at first if you don't know where it's supposed to be. But she is, without a doubt, the most charming, disgusting, just perfect example of New York woman you could ever watch. It's hilarious.
Are you talking about the Apartment 23 or Jessica Jones?
Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23. And it has James Vanderbeek as himself.
Oh, yeah.
And it's brilliant. Like, I always love actors who aren't afraid to play ridiculous versions of themselves.
Right.
Like Adam West in Family Guy.
Right.
Right. Adam Wee.
It's the last time they'll mess with Adam Wee.
But that's what I also love about Jessica Jones is that you just feel that she knows she has these powers, but kind of wants to stay off the radar. And but yet is very New York and very, you know, nitty gritty and swears and curses. And I feel sometimes it got a little damsel in distressy when it's like Luke Cage obviously just can't be hurt, but she can. But she has the super strength, and she's not sure if she can fly yet, but she can pretty much fly.
She can sort of fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that I just feel that it gets a little damsel in distress-y in the later episodes where she's always getting hurt, and she's, like, laying there, and I'm hurt, but then she gets up. And.
Well, I think – but the thing is that I think a lot of the damsel in distress-y moments aren't really damsel in distress-y. It's just – it's – she's a damsel for herself to save.
Right.
Like, she fixes her own shit, and she is just a person who's going through PTSD, basically. Right. And that's why I don't hate the kind of almost damsel in distressiness, because she becomes sort of her own knight in shining armor, because, like, you know, the guy she's in love with, she has to beat the shit out of.
Right. I'm not going to lie, that the guy that plays the bad guy that also plays...
David Tennant.
Yep. He's so, like, so evil. Like, I really, like, honestly hated him. I'm like, Like, I don't know. That was just me.
But I think that was kind of their humor.
Yeah. I was hoping they would go for that. They're supposed to love him. Not like the Christopher Guest bad guy where he...
But there are a few times where you definitely feel for him.
A little bit.
He was a very complex character.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
And it's a really good show, and... I think because you have morals.
Moral ambiguity!
Yeah. You have, but Nick has morals.
No. I don't have morals. I'm Catholic.
That's what I said.
It's nothing to do with morals, my friend. It has to do with Catholic guilt. And let me tell you, it's the worst fucking thing in the world. I feel bad about you. Jesus.
What is happening?
Don't worry about it.
That's why, like, to be honest with you, like, on a side note, this year at Renfest, I felt like my morals were totally, like, I just let them go. And
the guilt was just gone.
Pretty much. And maybe it's because the way my year was going last year that I just didn't give a flying fuck about shit. But it was probably one of my favorite years at Fest so far. And I hope it gets better next year, but just... Yeah, a lot of boobs, a lot of nipples, a lot of boobs, a lot of, yeah, it was good times. You should all work at the Renfest, yay!
Once again, we come back to boobs in the episode.
Here I am trying to have a nice podcast about powerful women and not being shallow, and you sons of bitches ruin it.
Boobs.
Everyone.
Boobs. I got sidetracked by my morality. Sorry.
you had to compensate for that.
Also, to be fair, you pulled your phone out and showed us boobs.
You did distract us. I was just saying that I dropped the Catholic guilt. I was going on that whole tangent. No, I'm back. I did excuse us for going off on a side note. I didn't mean to sound shallow. Sorry, Kim. So back to your powerful women and...
Oh, son of a bitch. But, so yes, our first Marvel superhero that is female-led will be Captain Marvel. And we get a co-movie where Ant-Man and the Wasp, where she at least gets co-billing with Ant-Man, which is great because I'm very excited for that. I thought Paul Rudd absolutely fucking killed it.
He did.
I thought she was...
Also, can we talk about how that was sort of the surprise hit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god. Yeah. I had no hopes for it.
I didn't either.
Top three favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Oh, it was so good.
I'm
such a huge Paul Rudd fan. And I always thought that Ant-Man, while silly, was always kind of a cool character.
I never liked Ant-Man, ever. I read a couple of the comics, you know, the Mr. Pym and all that, and he actually had a couple of different names before he became Ant-Man, but
he's Ant-Man / Giant-Man.
Right. It's like the male version of Alice in Wonderland.
Right. Also, he's going to be Giant-Man in Civil War.
Awesome. But, I was, for a movie and a character that I really didn't have any interest in, it was a very, very well-done movie. I was very impressed. I was very shocked by how much I did actually like it. Paul Rudd, I'm a huge fan of. I thought he did a brilliant job without going over the top, because he very easily could have been corny and quirky. I felt he kind of held back a little bit, which was good. I mean, but he didn't at the same time.
And much like Chris Pratt with Guardians of the Galaxy, where the fuck did he pull those abs out of?
Yeah, right?
Holy, like all of a sudden he's shirtless. You're like, whoa, Paul Rudd, fuck.
Why do I have a boner right now?
I do a little.
But in relation to Ant-Man, that another great example of a really strong female character in a comic book movie. Not the star necessarily, but definitely.
And in comic book history, now this was Hank Pym as Ant-Man, not who Paul Rudd plays, but Hank Pym Ant-Man in a very controversial comic beat the shit out of his wife, just smacked something hard.
I remember
after one of the more recent resets, they were showing. I think the Watchers were showing, some of the Avengers their past lives and past events. They showed him hitting her, and Hank just started crying and crying and apologizing. Even though this version of him hadn't done it, he was mortified that he could have. And that, I thought, was a very good apology for that comic because, back then they didn't think it was going to be such a big deal. But
this is after. And I think that was one thing that I liked about this Ant-Man. Is that they didn't make, and I from the previews, I could kind of tell, but couldn't really tell. I thought that Hank Pym was going to be Paul Rudd's character, and I'm glad they didn't do that. I'm glad they said that, I can't think of the actor, Kirk Douglas was the old Hank Pym, and I did too. I really did. And they're like, he's trying to keep a secret from these other people who are trying to make this project, and he doesn't want to give it away. I appreciated that. I accepted that. And I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, is because they didn't make Paul Rudd into Hank Pym. They separate character.
Yeah, they did.
And I appreciated that. And they even brought in his wife, Wasp, and the inevitable, when she shrunk down so small and was very sad and tragic. And
yeah. Also, in that scene, did anyone else hope that he'd find her?
Oh, like in Big Hero 6? Totally.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Just making sure.
No, I ain't ended.
But, no, I think Evangeline Lilly plays a great Hope Van Dyne, and she's just, I really liked her. I thought she was outstanding, and I'm really excited for Ant-Man and the Wasp. I think that's going to be good, and I think we're going to finally see a... I'm not excited for Captain Marvel, but I haven't seen any casting yet, So,
right,
because there hasn't been any.
Right.
There's only been talks about the writers, but we know what's going to happen. We know who's cast as the Wasp in Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's going to be Evangeline Lilly, and I'm excited for that because her character was my favorite in that movie.
Yeah. I was just kind of thrown off at the end of that movie, though, where they're like, normally when they have like little side things at the end, you know, the Marvel, you wait for it during
the credit scene?
Yeah, the credit scenes. Why they did the Captain America, the one that they show for the beginning of the Civil War trailer.
Yeah, it's the
Falcon and Captain America, and they find Bucky. The Winter Soldier. Yeah, Bucky and the Winter Soldier.
It was a teaser for Civil War, because that was going to be the next Marvel
right.
movie. And B, Falcon says to Steve, he goes, I know a guy. And he's talking specifically about
Ant-Man.
He's talking about Scott.
Right.
Guess what Nick missed.
Guess I missed that one. really. Because I forgot the preface of what he said prior to the I know a guy thing. Because that's right, Falcon made. the guy that makes an appearance in like every Marvel movie so far. Avengers, Captain America, Ant-Man. I'm not saying anything bad about it. He's becoming the C-3PO of the Marvel Universe. Because he's in every movie. Oh, for gosh sake.
What listeners did not see was the incredulous faces Kevin and I made as he said these things and tried to backpedal his way out.
Sometimes I don't think before I talk.
He's implying that Anthony Mackie is a gay robot.
No, I am not. Yeah, but I'm okay.
Now you've implied that.
But I'm
not implying anything about Paul Bettany. I'm just saying that Vision is kind of a gay robot,
and I'm kind of okay with that.
Though, which makes me wonder: are they gonna? Because I noticed he saved her, and they're.
Oh.
I'm wondering if they're gonna push the Scarlet Witch Vision relationship.
That'd be neat.
It would be neat, and then talk about whether get the whole data from Star Trek: The Next Generation is artificial intelligence. Can they get married?
Does he even have a thing?
Oh, he has a thing.
He's got a thing.
How do you know? Because he came out in that suit. Same. He came out very Ken dollish.
Well, no, he came out naked and then created the suit around him.
They never
showed his mid region, I don't think. I may have to watch again just to double
just
check.
See if he's packed.
Are we going a little mall rats here when
absolutely.
Brody meets Stanley? Is this thing really made of stone? Is Mr. Fantastic, can he stretch all of
You're
his body?
You're probably obsessed with the genitalia of comic book characters.
Mall rats.
That said, I hope the Vision is packing like David Bowie sized cod piece there. Good for him.
Yeah, but I love Paul Bettany. He's so good.
He's good. He's very good. He never did anything good before this, but
are you kidding me?
Night's Tale, he was fantastic in.
Yeah, aside from Night's Tale. Sorry.
He's been a couple of good ones.
He was good in Da Vinci Code. I really liked him in Da Vinci.
Never saw Da Vinci Code.
He was really good in that. But no,
I don't remember him in that one because I didn't like the rest of the movie.
I liked it because it's interesting to think about going back to the whole Catholic religion thing. But
right.
And my actual, I don't want to say disdain for the Catholic religion, but my mom doesn't like the fact that I don't go to church, so I'm kind of okay with that I don't go to church. Anyways,
Catholic guilt.
No, I'm totally okay with not going to church. No, he was really good in that, but I loved him in Night's Tale. Especially the fact that he played Chalmer. Chaucer. Why did I say Chalmer? I don't know. Chaucer. He played Geoffrey Chaucer. And as soon as I heard that name, I started laughing my tits off in the movie theater. The first time I saw it. Because I'm like, oh, this ought to be good.
Yeah, that's because you understand who Chaucer is.
Yeah, exactly.
No one else did.
Probably not. But I did. And I went with my buddy Austin. He's a book guy. And he knew who Chaucer was. And he laughed too. We laugh together as a couple of nerds watching. It's one of my movies I watched before Fest. It's like, I gotta watch it.
It's because it's basically Nice Tale is the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much.
I watched that and Man in the Iron Mask.
Because you want to watch a feel-good film?
I love that they danced with Bowie in that movie.
Right?
They do.
Oh, in Knight's Tale.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they totally do. I like that infusion. It bugged me at first, but I like the infusion of
the modern music.
Yeah. The modern everything.
Or the fact that they're playing Queen electric guitar on their trumpets in the beginning. One of the people I was there with wanted to walk out. I'm like, you know, I just enjoyed what it is, asshole.
Yeah, it's kind of right. It's kind of like going and seeing Robin Hood Men in Tights in a way, but a little bit more modern.
By the way, I'm absolutely putting together a group cosplay of Men in Tights, specifically the four of them in the dresses. I'm doing Blinken.
Just little John.
We don't have anyone yet.
If I had more hair, I would be totally Will Scarlet, but I don't have more hair.
See, I would have seen you as Will Scarlet.
That would be good, but I really wanted to do Blinken. And we're getting Tony Miller to be Achoo.
That's awesome.
That's pretty
And awesome. Now we're just talking about things that you
that
guys have
nothing.
That mean nothing to any of you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and speaking of that, you were talking about doing your Jedi Hordor.
Oh yeah.
And then doing other like characters. And I was like thinking, I'm like, I don't think I could do any of the other characters in.
Why?
I don't know who I'd be. Who the fuck would I be?
Who wouldn't you be? You can be anyone you want.
Can I be Brennan of Tarth?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
In the silver Captain Phasma
and
everything.
I love it.
No, I don't want to be
dead. I expect that to happen.
Get you a blonde wig.
I expect some pretty lady to walk out in medieval armor and Captain Phasma's helmet on. I expect that.
I want to be a Han Solo type. But who would be?
So, I mean, I guess.
But this does bring up an interesting question that I wouldn't mind asking. Because you've got this concept of mashing up Game of Thrones and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Other franchises you would mash up for cosplays.
Well, I've been doing kind of mashups for a long time. Like
I love your 1950s Han Solo. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's not quite a mashup, but yeah.
Well, it's very Outsiders inspired,
okay. Right?
I
like the. I'd always wanted to do a. If I made Iron Man armor, which I've wanted to do for a long time, just seems like a very large entailing task. But anyways, I would definitely paint it like Punisher armor.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
That would be very cool.
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen the Punisher
Iron
Captain America.
Yes, so. I have. I have. The Iron Punisher.
Yeah.
No, the Captain America Punisher.
Yeah.
When he briefly took up Captain America's mantle after he was killed.
Yeah. Very briefly.
And it's very cool looking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, wasn't he the Iron Punisher then or something? Or?
It was just, well, no, I don't think that might have been what he was called. But the storyline was essentially... It was essentially the same storyline that DC did after Death of Superman, Fight for the Cape, essentially.
Sure.
And so, like, Punisher came in, Bucky,
and then
there was...
Similarly after Batman, Battle for the Cowl.
Battle for the Cowl, yeah. But I'm trying to think of who else was in on that thing. It was Punisher, it was Bucky...
Up to finally
Falcon, who ended up taking up the mantle.
Later, yeah, much later. Mm-hmm. Only in the last year or so.
Tony Stark died. Spoiler alert.
Tony Stark died? When?
You said just Batman. Well, if Iron
Captain
Man.
Captain America died.
Captain America, not Tony Stark.
Oh, why was I thinking
Tony
Iron Man?
Tony Stark was,
never, yeah,
was
no,
kind of responsible
I,
for his death.
We were. No, I'm sorry.
This entire conversation was skewed in Nick's head because when he said Captain America, he was thinking Iron Man.
Because I was talking about the Iron Punisher, and all of a sudden you're like, Punisher took up the mantle when he died, and I'm like, what? Okay, now I got, okay.
Yep. Now you're there.
Now I'm there. Excellent. I'm with you, sorry. I was... Boobs.
But what else?
Yeah, what else would we mash up?
What would you mash up? Because I like the idea of... Now, this isn't technically a mashup. But I would love to, at some point, cosplay an Amalgam Comics character.
Hmm.
For those that don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, for those who don't know what he's talking about, it's the best, worst thing ever.
It really is. It's DC and Marvel in the early to mid-90s did a team-up, essentially, where they...
Well, it started as a versus, as it always does.
Yeah. It was Avengers versus JLA. And it It was like a four-part comic series.
Well, it wasn't just Avengers. It was full Marvel versus DC. There was a JLA versus Avengers.
Yeah.
That was later.
That was
early 2000s.
That was different. This was Marvel versus DC, and what ended up happening in the storyline was that the two worlds
merged through
cosmic being mumbo jumbo, and for like 6 months to a year, Marvel and DC co-owned a company called Amalgam Comics, in which they made these new characters.
And Wolverine merged with Batman, and there was the American Soldier, which was Superman
and Steve Rogers.
There was a younger version with Superboy and Spider-Man.
Yep.
They were so bad. They were wonderful.
they were lovely. I liked them a lot.
I've always wanted to do, and I know this has probably already been overdone, but I like the idea of like the steampunk Star Wars esque type things, or if you bring it even farther back, if you take like samurai versions of things, like you take the samurai version of Star Wars.
Well, because Star Wars is already very samurai inspired. I've seen some of the samurai Star Wars stuff.
So good.
Incredible.
It is.
I would love to do one of those as
well. Or I saw.
Oh god, I forgot that this was a thing.
Hold on, real quick. On a replica prop forum, I saw this guy who's got like full samurai armor that is done by Superman, done to look like Superman. Lobo the Duck.
It was a mashup of Lobo and Howard the Duck.
Fuck me.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
Speaking of which, did you see I was gonna post this on the Book of the Face. I'll post it on our
Facebook page. I dress as a steampunk version of Doctor Doom.
Yeah, and I like that one. But again, not quite a mashup.
Not quite a mashup.
I'm talking like two separate franchises mashed them together.
I'm gonna post this on the thing. But it's pretty much a picture of Lobo that says Deadpool is going to be rated R. Well, DC needs to step up and pretty much do a Lobo movie, which
they really
do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that could be really awesome, or it could be really horrible, because it could be like Punisher War Journal, because it needs to be violent. I mean, it absolutely needs to be violent, because that's who the characters are. But War Journal was just...
It was violent
or Warzone
without
was
clever.
Just, yes, it was just... gratuitous almost.
Yeah.
Whereas I would want the Lobo movie to be like a rated R version of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's fair.
That's what it should
Space
be.
Space tits and everything.
Space tits.
Yes. No, you're right.
Though. I'll also post a picture of what I did in Target when I was bored. Did I show that to you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. That's...
I don't know, though. I've been trying to think of other cool mashups, because I had already also mentioned the... doing the Game of Thrones Lord of the Rings matchup with Shadows of Hodor.
By the way, real quick before we get back to this, a Lobo movie can't work because Brad Garrett looks nothing like Lobo, but he sounds exactly like he does.
Didn't he voice Lobo?
Yes, he did.
In the Superman animated series.
Nice. He was great. It's the perfect voice. It really is.
Is it?
Yes. Yes, Brad Garrett's voice for Lobo was perfect. And unfortunately, he'll never be able to fill out that costume correctly. So.
And I kind of agree, but Ron Perlman.
Too old.
Too old.
I know he's too old, but I'm thinking voice. I'm just strictly thinking voices.
Voice, yes.
Voice.
Unless I want to do some stupid CGI crap, which...
No.
No.
If it means I get Brad Garrett's voice, I'm open to the idea.
No, I'm so over... I'm over the movies that are just overly CGI'd.
Yeah, me too.
It just hurts my brain. Which reminds me, I was watching Terminator Genesis yesterday, and I'm still kind of amazed at how well they CGI'd younger Arnold. Like, it's just, you watch and you go, God, it looks exactly like him, and it doesn't look CGI'd at all. Whereas, you know, you watch Tron Legacy, and you could totally tell Jeff Bridges.
We're almost out there. Okay. Voice, comedy, body, Terry Crews.
As Lobo?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. Yes. Oh, I'd watch that. Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I could totally do it.
You're damn right. Oh, God, yeah. Oh.
Terry Crews is Lobo. Oh,
but
need to toss this idea to DC.
Yes. However, his nemesis in that movie should be played by the other Old Spice guy.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You're welcome, America.
I would go broke watching
every day of my life. Yes. You're welcome. You're welcome.
And one more for Lobo, please.
This is like your fifth time today.
I know.
sir, you're trying to hand me your firstborn as a ticket. Take it. I don't care. I must see it again.
How many tickets can I get for this? It's a baby. We can't give you any tickets. Please, seriously. How many can I? We're horrible people. I'm a horrible person for saying that.
Yeah.
Terry Crews as Lobo. I would. Yeah, I'd go broke seeing that. Terry Crews is. I don't think there's anybody. If he was still alive, Michael Clark Duncan, but
ooh, that'd be good, yeah.
But not nearly as buff enough. But Terry Crews is.
Well, see, Michael Clark Duncan was pretty buff. He was just big buff.
Right.
Whereas Terry is tone buff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either one. God, Terry, that would be. We have to propose this to DC.
Uh-huh. We really should.
They're welcome.
Somehow.
We'll post this to the DC Facebook and be like, just go to a minute mark here. We have your next $1 million. Hashtag you're welcome. Hashtag $1 million, please.
We should start a campaign online, because I'm sure we can do it where we get Terry Crews to play Lobo.
We should totally do a change.org petition.
Yes. Yes.
Rob, make it happen.
All right. I'm working on it right now.
Awesome. We are such nerds.
Maybe I'll tweet him, see if he'll reply.
Yeah.
You're friends with Terry Crews on Twitter?
I follow him.
The only my small claim to fame on Twitter, small claim to fame was when I was at Kevin Smith and he was talking about tweeting and Twitter and crap like that. So I took a picture of him and I just put like at Kevin Smith, you know, here's a picture of you talking about tweeting while I tweet about you. And he actually liked it. I'm like, I'm like, oh, yay.
That totally beats my Chris Cluey one.
Nobody cares about Chris Cluey.
I care about Chris Cluey once upon a time.
I still like him.
Yeah.
But no, he for those who are not familiar with
these Minnesota, are nerds we're talking about
Minnesota sports. Chris Cluey was kind of an ascended sports figure. He was a Viking who was very much a progressive, liberal, and a huge nerd. As a matter of fact, his Twitter handle is Chris Warcraft.
Yeah.
For very obvious reasons.
He's very outspoken in gay rights, and that's kind of what got him.
And he was a place kicker. He was talking about gun rights and how, you know, just wanting a background check isn't fucking ridiculous. And so, of course, people were blowing up his Twitter saying, "Yeah, you want to take all the guns away, you're Nazi." That kind of crap. And I'm just trying to get a rise out of people posted, you know, I think the Constitution, you guys are all talking about the Second Amendment, I think it says well-regulated militia, not drunken rednecks. So I got a lot of fire, but he retweeted it, and I got retweeted it thousands of times, and
that's way better than Kevin Smith being liking my thing. He didn't retweet mine. We retweet mine.
But it's Kevin Smith.
I know, but still, Chris Cluey, you got retweet. I can't even talk.
One famous guy saw his. Thousands of people, including perhaps more famous people.
Although I got yelled at so hard. I probably got death threats. I don't know.
Although Jesse, I don't know if you know who Jesse Pridemore is, a cosplayer.
Mm-hmm.
She used to, I think she still does, did a lot of advertising for Gunner glasses, Gunner optics, and I have a pair of Gunner optics that I got. And I took a picture of myself and I tweeted to her and I'm like, oh, hey, Jesse, you probably look a lot better in these, but I'm wearing Gunner optics. And she liked it and she retweeted it. It didn't get retweeted like yours did, Kevin. But what's your small claim to fame, Rob? Now I feel like we have to add Weird Al's small claim to fame.
Honestly, I have to think about it because I don't. I know I have one. I just don't remember it right now. I'm sorry.
Although I did, I worked security once for... I can't think of the comedian's name. The Here's Your Sign guy.
Bill Ingvall.
Yeah. I work security for him, my buddy and I, and he was there, and he was a very, very, very nice gentleman, and we were walking him out to his car, and we were just talking about what we do, and my buddy and I do, and, you know, our work in law enforcement, and he goes, you know how many people we say here's your sign to, and then we throw them in the back of a squad car because they say stupid shit all the time. He's like, really? And we're like, oh, yeah, all the time. Anyways, that was a dumb story. Sorry, we.
No, actually, I like that. It's a pretty good story. Yeah.
Anecdote.
My only real reasonable claim to fame thing is that when I was six, I went over and talked to Ken Herbeck. That's it. It's not even really that cool. We were at the Sportsman show. He was.
I have a Ken Herbeck story too. Keep going.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have one since then and tell him this story.
So I worked.
But anyway, so I was like six. We were near the fishing thing at the Sportsman show, and there he is. He's standing there, just sort of looking around. Sort of, he looks kind of like.
He's a super nice guy. Yeah, he will talk to anybody. I was working backstage at a Lori Line show, believe it or not, and she did three shows. So it was a Friday and then two on Saturday. So it was an afternoon matinee and then an evening show. But at the evening show, I'm sitting backstage, and Lori Line's husband comes backstage with Ken Herbeck. And Ken Herbeck and I sat backstage and bullshitted the entire show, because apparently he is really good friends with Lori Line and her husband. And they're, like, good friends, and his daughter was there. Taking photos and had toured with Lori Line a couple times, like just learning piano and just kind of seeing what it's like to live the touring life. And yeah, we totally bullshitted. And he is the nicest guy. He was giving me updates on the Wild game on his phone. He's like, oh, fucking Wild are losing. And he's like the super nice guy. And then,
taking a Wild game.
Right. And then he helped us load out the stage because it was Saturday night. So he helped us like load out the stage. And I'm like, and he's in like cowboy boots and jeans. And I'm like, this is kind of funny, and this is totally awesome that Ken Herbeck is helping us load out a set. But super nice. And we talked, and he's like, yeah, I've been retired for, you know, 20 years already, because I retired at the age of 35. And I'm like, fuck, I'm 36, and shit, what am I doing with my life?
Right.
Not retiring.
Retired at 30. Can you imagine that? Retired at 35?
If I had the amount of athletic talent that Ken Herbeck did, yeah, I can't imagine him retiring at 35. Right. I also love his story about retiring at 35. His contract was up with the Twins. They were talking about getting another contract, but his daughter had just been born. He was starting to get tired of the slog.
All of the nerds have now changed tracks.
Fuck off, I don't care.
We're talking about sports.
We're talking about sports because this is the other thing. I'm only nerdy about baseball, and I don't care. Specifically Twins baseball. But anyways, so his daughter had just been born. He was starting to get tired of the slog around the country. And so instead of re-upping his contract, which he could have done, he could have played for another 10 years. At least another 10 years. You know,
he was slowing down at the end of his contract.
No. He actually had the best season of his life at the end of his contract. And he said, you know, I'm just going to retire, you guys. I don't thank you for your time. I'll keep coming back and doing promotional stuff with you, but I'm done. I don't want to play baseball anymore. I want to spend time with my family. And just, as an adult, I think that's a super cool story. I love that story.
And then, so when he was done helping us load out, I gave him one of our little, we have little backstage tech passes that, you know, say tech crew. And I was like, well, since you've officially earned this, because now you've officially loaded out a show, he's like, will this get me into Target Field? And I go, I think your name alone gets you into Target Field. How many other people have their name on the fucking wall at Target Field? He's like, oh, yeah, I guess. I mean, it was just so, I'm like, that's awesome.
I mean, yeah, I guess. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Your name is forever associated with a number, and that number is a gate to a fucking multi-million-dollar baseball whatever, sorry.
But he's just so, like, cool about it. Like, he's not an ass, he's not egotistical. I mean,
you know, no, he really is.
Just sat back there and just shot the shit. You know, we didn't. Oh, it's great.
He's a really
We didn't talk about baseball.
Yeah.
We actually talked about football a lot, too.
Oh.
He's like, oh. Nice. Yeah. So, anyways, sorry. Right. Small claims of fame.
Yep. Sorry, Kevin. We'll go back to nerd stuff now.
Well, you don't have to apologize to me. I just thought it was funny.
Maybe there's some nerds out there that like baseball.
That's the thing.
Statistics.
I think the.
Numbers.
Shut up. Go fuck yourself, sir. That's what I say.
I was talking about the nerdy side of baseball.
No, you were talking about baseball, unfortunately. You just didn't realize it, because that's all baseball.
He meant logistics,
statistics, and numbers and stuff. That's baseball. Which is why I like it, because it is logistics, statistics, and numbers. That's really all it is. Yes, there's some athletic talent, but yeah, it's more of a strategy game than like football or hockey or basketball. Those are all really, really based. Yes, there's some gamesmanship in those.
I just wish they had cheerleaders.
Baseball?
Yeah, just kidding. Kidding.
They don't. They have
I know they don't. Beer
guys. I wish.
Yeah, I know.
Beer guys are my cheerleaders.
Yeah.
My cheerleaders are the fans. Drunken fans.
Yep.
You know what I don't like about Target Center is that it's not nearly as rowdy as
You mean Target Field?
Target Field, sorry. Yeah, Target Field is not nearly as rowdy as the Metrodome because, like, up in the cheap seats, the $6 seats that you could always buy, any Twins game, seats were like $6 yep. up in frickin' nosebleed on, but they were the best seats in the house.
Yeah, they were because they were and right up against the curtain.
And in my opinion, where the real fans sat.
It would get weird up there.
It would get very weird up there and very there drunk was a curtain, very quick. Sir,
do with that what you will.
I've been there.
Oh, okay.
So I want to know how many people had sex behind that curtain, seriously, during a live Twins game. You did not. Rob's raising his hand. I no, you didn't.
I got a baseball handy once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you guys.
That's her name was Rachel Sorensen. You may call her if you'd like.
All right.
Facebook.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, wait. She gave me a handy in the behind the curtain, too. She called it a Rob for some odd reason. I mean, and I was like,
and that's where she put the thumb in.
Right. And I was like, you mean a Rob? She's like, no, a Rob. I'm like, oh, weird. Now I get it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Small claims of fame. We talked about exciting new women heroes that are coming out in movies.
I don't know what we've talked about anymore. Like, this conversation has been all over the board today.
It has.
Yeah.
That's how our conversations always are.
Yeah, but well, usually we
a little more
up.
So than usual.
Yeah,
that's true. We did talk about Catholic guilt and then moved to baseball. And
yep.
Apparently Rob hates the Steam controller.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted
really,
to talk about that today.
I did want to talk about it. So I enjoy being a gamer, but I'm a PC gamer. Always have been. I'm a simple man with simple pleasures. I love old school stuff.
Thumbs up
the N64 games. Love those. Still love them, still have one, still have like 30 games stashed away somewhere. But I've been a PC gamer for years, and my big.
You play one on old school TV, by the way.
Huh?
You play your N64 on old school TV.
I do.
You almost have to.
Yeah.
I play it on an HD TV. It's right.
Yeah.
We played GoldenEye on my friend's like 70-inch plasma screen TV. It looks horseshit.
It's not
completely shitty. Anyways, I'm sorry, Rob.
Anyways,
continue.
Yeah. So, but. For me, I'm a big fan of, you know, strategy games, RPGs, and very near the bottom first-person shooters, although I do like playing them. After that, I don't care about any other games. So I bought the Steam controller, which you can find online, because I wanted a wireless controller to attach to my computer so I could, you know, I have a broken laptop that the screen doesn't work, but I can hook it up to my TV. And so I wanted to hook this wireless controller into my broken laptop and play it on my TV. Well, I wanted to get like an Xbox controller, but no one has a good wireless except for Steam. So here's the thing, and Nick should probably post a picture of this, but with the Steam controller, it has, instead of two axis joysticks, it has one joystick and then like this weird touch pad.
Two touch D pads.
Yeah,
kind of like the Xbox One Elite.
The what?
The Xbox One Elite controller.
Oh, really? Right? Okay.
Not the two. It just has the one where the D pad is.
Yeah, well, and that's fine.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ, Nick, calm down.
Every time you say D pad, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and I rub my thumbs all over my D pad.
I'm sure you do.
You're damn right I do. Uh-huh. Call it off. God damn it.
We patched a new term.
So instead of two axes, there's one that's like a little motion sensor D-pad, and it doesn't... I don't like it. It doesn't... It's. I don't like change.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Yeah. It's... When it runs, it sort of has this haptic feedback thing that is interesting, but at the end of the day, unnecessary. It's just, why can't we just have a little fucking... I want to play all my games on a little Nintendo block. Can I have all games work on a Nintendo brick again? Because that would be great.
I really didn't like that operating system. I'm sorry.
No, it's terrible. I'm just saying.
You just want yours.
I want a simple controller.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not necessarily as simple as the original NES controller, where it's just a D-pad and two buttons. But I want something like that. I want something small, efficient, and it doesn't need all of these fucking... Because there's two D-pads, a fucking stick, four buttons on the front, and then trigger, bumpers, and then there's a third pair of buttons on the bottom.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
It's really no different than
maybe the Xbox controller.
It's not nearly as different, but there's a couple changes that I really dislike about it.
It's like an Xbox meets a Xbox controller and a PS4
a little bit.
Controller had a baby.
But here's the problem.
A fat baby.
There are no decent wireless controllers that work for your PC. Mm. The Steam controller is really the only one. So here's my thing. I want Microsoft and I want Sony to get on this because they need to be able to create something that can be used for your PC or your Blu-ray player, because we just got a new Blu-ray player where we could play PS3, PS4 games off of it because it's a Sony machine.
Right.
I don't know if that'll work with a wireless PS4 controller. But my thing is, Microsoft, Sony, get out there and start making decent wireless controllers for PC gamers like me, because not all of us use do WASD games all the time. I enjoy playing, you know, Skyrim on my computer, and it's great for Steam, but it's great on Steam, but this controller, we need something different. So that's my rant. That's all I got.
I was gonna say, like, even the wireless controller I have for my PS3, I have problems with it. Like, and I enjoy the first person shooter games because that's kind of what I'm more good at. That was even good proper English, which it wasn't. But my problem is like, so my trigger button is the right, and I set it to be the top one or the bottom one, so I can shoot faster. But I found when I'm doing this that sometimes you hit in like Call of Duty games, is which I play. They have an attack where you can, you know, like a melee attack. So like when I'm shooting, I find that when I'm trying to blast the shit out of somebody, like somehow the thumb control, the one that hits, like you press down on it, but I never touch it, it slashes, and I don't know why, and I don't know if there's crossover in my controller, if it's just because I bought a used controller, I don't know, but it annoys the shit out of me.
Sure.
Because it's like, no, I want to shoot this mother, and then I die, and I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Then I get...
I think, well, they're sometimes a little more sensitive than you think. I think even though you don't think you're clicking down on it, you kind of are.
Yeah.
But I've taken them apart, put them back together millions of times. I could always look at it. But they do actually make an Xbox 360 wireless controller for Windows PC.
Do they? Mm-hmm. Okay. But that's the thing. I can't find that in a store anywhere.
In conclusion.
Damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
Women are cool.
Women are cool.
And we're excited to see them kick more ass.
Yes, women, please. Absolutely. Keep kicking ass in Marvel movies.
And baseball and controller.
And everybody, we need to start a trend on Twitter. Hashtag Terry Crews as Lobo.
Yes. I'm just saying.
Everybody's got to tweet. Hashtag Terry Crews as Lobo.
It's a little long. Can't we just do hashtag Crews for Lobo?
Yeah. I like it.
But who are they? T. Crews for Lobo?
So T. Crews for Lobo.
For Lobo.
There you go. T. Crews for Lobo. All right. We're changing.
Hashtag T. Crews for Lobo. I like it.
All right.
That's good.
And that being said, I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
And may the force be with you all. Geek.
Nerd.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.